Philippians, well, you're in Ephesians 1, but Philippians 3, Paul cried out, said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Notice that phrase, the power of his resurrection. Now, Paul wrote Philippians quite a long time into his ministry. I think he's been in ministry decades by this time. And this is still his heart cry. And if you look at the teachings of Paul, we'll look at it in the writings of Paul, you'll see in Ephesians in a minute. Paul had a particular revelation about the power that was involved at the resurrection. The release of power, the release of God's power involved when Jesus was raised from the dead. And the resurrection was not like any other resurrection. It wasn't the same as Lazarus' resurrection or any other person that was raised from the dead. There was an incredible flexing of God's muscles, a display and a demonstration of power involved in the resurrection. And he describes it in Ephesians 1. So let's look at this. And like I said, I'm going somewhere specific with this. Ephesians 1 verse 19. This is part of the prayers, but we're just going to read from this verse. He's praying that our eyes be open. We have revelation concerning some things. And one of the things is, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Different translations say different things. My translation says the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities. And it goes on. But the words used in this passage, I mean, this passage is jam-packed, it's power-packed with words of size, words of magnitude, words of power, words of authority. Nothing else in the Bible describes any release of God's power quite like this. And you know, we haven't quite got the revelation of this. And Paul's praying that we do. And in fact, like I said, in Philippians, years, decades into his ministry, he is still crying out that I may know the power of his resurrection. Should we know some things about this? Should we get a deeper revelation? Do we know all there is to know about this? Or should we spend more time on this? I've preached on it before, but it's good to spend more time on. It's good to really grasp and understand the power that God released at the resurrection. You know, one of the things is you've got to realize that Paul talked about that your faith should not rest, anyone know, in the wisdom of men, but in? Not on the wisdom of God. That your faith should not rest. What did you say?
Power.
That your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power. In the power of God. Are we supposed to put faith in his power?
Yes.
We're supposed to.
Yes.
We're supposed to put faith in his power. What about it? What about his power are we supposed to put faith in? Well, the size, the magnitude of it, the capability, what it is capable of doing. Just what his power can actually achieve and accomplish in any situation and circumstance we face. And if we can grasp the revelation of that and really get a hold of that, nothing will look impossible. Nothing will look difficult. See, the enemy likes to overwhelm us with the size of the challenges we face and the magnitude of the problems and make us feel like nothing's going to get you through this. Oh, this one's a tough one. You know, people talk about situations like, you know, physical conditions, cancer and different things, almost like, oh, wow, there's no hope. And that's because they have more confidence in the power of death to destroy than they do in the power of life and the power of God to set free and to destroy the power of death.
Yeah.
And we don't have enough of a revelation and we're not walking in it like we should. The power and the magnitude of what God is capable of doing. Now, does God spend time throughout his word, even before the resurrection of Jesus, showing us what he's capable of doing? There's miracle after miracle, splitting of the Red Sea, bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, no matter what opposition they're facing. Now, is this important for us to understand in this day? It's important for us to understand in this day because, you know, when you look at Very often God shows his power released in the face of opposition, in the face of what the enemy is doing, in the face of what darkness is trying to do. I'm preaching here, and I had a scripture in my heart, which I was also trying to look up at the same time. I'm trying to do two things at once, okay? But in fact, you can look at this, 1 Peter chapter 1, because this scripture just popped in my heart, because this is important. Now, was there opposition in Egypt to bringing the children of Israel out? Pharaoh, you know, look at me, I'm big Pharaoh, I'm the most powerful person around. Who do you think you are coming into my courts telling me what to do? But Moses was walking in what? In the power of God. Obedience, faith, all those kind of things, but the power was operating through him. What about Elijah? Elijah facing Jezebel. There's so many Christians that are concerned about Jezebel. What about the Elijahs? What about, we're not supposed to be afraid of Jezebel. We're supposed to be walking in that Elijah power, not afraid of what the enemy can achieve or do. But how are we going to walk in a place where we have confidence where what God can do on this earth, despite what the enemy's trying to do, when we can't even get ourselves stirred up about the power of God to beat a headache? And to beat a little challenge. Is God able? You see this principle over and over. In fact, Abraham, I didn't really know where this message is going to go. We're just going to preach it. Is that right? Romans 4 talks about it. Talks about the fact that Abraham came to the place where he believed God is able. What does able mean? He can do it. He can do it. Do what? Bring about a change in Sarah's body, even though she's older. Can he do something like that? Yeah. Is God capable? You take Abraham out of the equation. I mean, Abraham, Sarah, they were old. That was a pretty impressive miracle. But what about Mary? Didn't even need a guy in that one. Just put a baby inside of her. Said, God's going to do it. And Mary said, I don't know. How's it going to happen? She wasn't in doubt. She wanted to understand how's this going to happen. And one of the things the angel replied to her is the power of God's going to come upon you and is going to do it because nothing's impossible for God. Yeah. Does he spend time showing us how he can achieve the impossible? Yes. Moses, in the wilderness, the children of Israel come to a place where they're moaning about the fact they're eating manna every day. And that manna was a demonstration of God's provision for them, but they got tired of it. And then, we got manna every day. We want meat. And Moses goes before the Lord and God says, fine, I'm going to give them meat for 30 days. Now, you got to understand they're in the middle of a wilderness. There's not much meat around. And this is not 20 people. This is an entire nation, hundreds of thousands. Some people even say in the millions. I don't quite know, depending on how you add it up. But a lot of people, that's a lot of meat for 30 days. And Moses actually choked and he thought, okay, where are we going to get that amount of meat? This is Moses, the man walking in the power of God. He even thought that was a challenge. And you know what God said to him? He says, has the arm of the Lord been shortened? In other words, is God limited in what he can do? Has he not said it? If he said it, he'll do it. Is he capable of doing what he said he's going to do? Do we have to feel overwhelmed by the size of the challenge? Or should we have our faith and our confidence in the power of the God who can do it? And remind ourselves and stir ourselves up. See, the enemy wants you to focus over and over and over again on the size and the magnitude of the problem. And he wants you to get so caught up, even in the little things that you're facing in your life. I don't see where the money's going to come from. I don't see where the provision's going to come from. I just don't see how doctors have said this situation's impossible. And we get focused in, we get zeroed in. But we're supposed to get stirred up about the power and the ability of our God and put our faith in that and begin to say, God, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Was God able to bring meat to that entire nation in a way where it didn't look like there was any meat available? And he did it for 30 days. In fact, he said to them, you're going to have so much meat, it's going to come out of your nostrils. Yeah. And Moses is like, all right, God, thanks for correcting me. I shouldn't have thought small. I'm going to believe in a God who can do anything. Do we serve a God whose power is capable of literally doing anything? Yes. Are there any limitations on what his power is capable of doing? And this power was released at the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. God flexed his muscles and he released the exceeding greatness of his power. And he said, let me show you what I can do. Yes, we're to walk in it. Because Paul talked about, we'll look at this at the end, the scriptures, the power that is working in us. Yes. The power that is working in us. We're not walking in this enough, but miracle after miracle after miracle through scripture. And people say, yes, but you need to have a special gift to walk in miracles. No, we're given faith. And Jesus said, you speak to that mountain will go. That sounds like a miracle to me. Yeah. Stepping into the realm where the power of God is released through his people because we're walking in faith and confidence in our God and what he's capable of doing. I believe we're in training to walk in this, and we're supposed to be stepping into it. But the enemy over and over again gets us to pull us out of it, gets our minds overwhelmed with things and thinking, I can't do it, God can't do it. Look at the size of the challenge. Yeah.
He's given us power and authority to do what he
Yes. Knows. And we're supposed to be, this is not a passive power. This is not a background power. This is a very real power that has been demonstrated on this earth over and over and over and over again. People say, well, I've never seen it. I didn't think Mary had ever seen a virgin birth, but she believed it. And I've never seen it. I didn't think Noah had ever seen the entire planet covered in water, but he believed and he said, it's going to happen, God, we're going to get ready for it. Just because you've never seen it doesn't mean it can't happen. But we're supposed to be a people that are stirred up and are walking in the power of God. And the enemy wants to overwhelm us with the challenges that come our way. But God is calling his people to walk in this. I told you I'm going to stir you up a little bit. Anyone getting a bit stirred up? Do you mind a bit of a preach today? This we're supposed to be walking in this. Let me show you the scripture I was going to look at you in 1 Peter. I've been waiting to get to it. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's step into that power. Let's step into that place where the power of the Holy Spirit will manifest through us. God is calling his people to walk in this. And the enemy is trying to keep us out of this. But what happens when the people of God step into this kind of thing? You get the Daniels that'll face a fire, a lion's den. You get the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's that'll face a fire. Did I get that the right way around? They'll face the fire. That'll face the lion's den. You get the Elijahs that'll call fire down from heaven in the face of the prophets of Baal. Amen. Were those prophets of Baal and Jezebel as in control of as they thought they were of things going on? Were they any match? Elijah says, pour water on my offering. Let's see what my God can do. In fact, he said, let's see what your God can do first. And he mocked them because they cried, they cut themselves, they chanted, but they were no match for the power of Almighty God. And God Almighty is not just sitting up in heaven having all power. He has raised up a body of Christ who are to walk in his power.
Amen.
We're supposed to be persuaded. He is in me. He is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
That term greater is a comparison term.
Yeah.
It's a comparison.
Yeah.
Are they equals?
No.
Is God and in fact in that verse it's talking about the spirits that are at work in the world.
Yeah.
Are there spirits of darkness at work in this world right now?
Yeah.
Are there people in the political arena, in the financial arena, yielding to darkness and letting darkness move in? Is this a generation that we are supposed to be overwhelmed and afraid of what's happening around us? Or are we supposed to step into those kind of ministries like the Daniels, Elijahs, Moseses? Was Paul ever afraid standing before Pharaoh, standing before different leaders? In fact, some of those leaders, when you look in the book of Acts, you get worried about what's happening in the world these days. In Acts, some of them had soothsayers advising them. People operating by demonic spirits. You go through Acts when he was standing before some of those leaders. Remember Elymas the sorcerer?
Yeah.
I'll show you some of the scriptures.
Yeah.
These guys were advising the political people of the day. Paul walks in the power of the Holy Spirit. Did he say, oh, guys, his ministry team, did you feel the darkness and the depression when we stepped into this place? Come, guys, we need to go and intercede because there's a sorcerer here. Paul's like, I don't even know if I can deal with this one. Do you see any of that? Is that how Christians are these days? Yeah. Why? Because they don't have a revelation of what's in them. They've got more confidence in the power of the Jezebels and the power of the sorcerers and the power of the witches and the power of darkness and the power that the political people want to yield to. And they've got far more confidence in that. And what does it do? Builds fear and confidence in the power of the enemy. Why do you think he gave us a Bible full of people walking in miraculous power? Well, let's look at the scripture. I'm trying to get there. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's resurrection day. Every day is resurrection day.
Amen.
I'm trying not to shout today, but come on, I've got to preach on me today. Is that all right? Resurrection. We're supposed to be walking in resurrection power. And what is it that Paul told us about the resurrection in the scriptures we've just read previously? The power of the resurrection. So here he mentions the resurrection of the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Is that real? I've been meditating this week on our reward in eternity. You meditate on this. You know, it's not real to a lot of people. It's not real to a lot of people. You meditate on your reward in eternity and you begin to get motivated about things in your calling and are motivated in obeying God. Motivated, you begin to realize, I've said this previously in previous weeks, we're going to get different levels of reward. Do you realize that? I'm not talking about your salvation. Well, if you've received Jesus, you get the free gift of righteousness. But the Bible talks about reward according to your works. Zay, I can give you loads of scriptures, New Testament, right through the book of Revelation, right through the epistles all over the place. Jesus talked about it. Did he talk about people who are going to rule over 10 cities, 5 cities, no cities? It's there. It's there. When you begin to realize there's a reward in eternity. There's reward, and he talks about it here, an inheritance and also reward. There's things to live for. The Bible says godliness is profitable in this life and in the life to come. That does that tell you that living godly in this life is going to be beneficial in the life to come? What about the Christians who don't live godly? Well, someone said, well, they'll get the same reward. No, they won't. Otherwise, that scripture means nothing.
Yeah.
It says godliness will profit you in the world to come.
Yeah.
So if you're a Christian who doesn't live godly, is that going to benefit you? Are you going to get the same benefit? No, you're not. You realize that this 70, 80, 90 years on this earth is the shortest period of time you're ever going to experience. It's also the hardest.
Yeah.
Everything after this is good and easy. And there's reward. You keep your eyes on eternity. Never wants you to focus on eternity. Begin to realize I'm living for eternity. There's benefit to obeying God. There's benefit to making sacrifice and yielding to what he says to me to do rather than just living my life for today. Amen. That's just a bit of a side thought there, but it's good to, like I said, I've been meditating on that all week, listening to stuff on our reward. People say, I'm not fussed about our reward. You better be. That's what the preacher said who I was listening to. He said, the Bible talks so much about your reward. It doesn't say despise your reward and don't think about it. He tells you over and over again. In fact, Revelation talks about when Jesus comes, he says, I'm bringing my reward with me. Yeah, come out and give some rewards. He wants us to know about it. It motivates us. It begins to realize there is a reward, eternal reward to live for on this earth. And part of that is getting to the place where we begin to realize I'm on this planet, not just to live my plans and purposes, but to walk in his power, in his presence, in his glory, to be a vessel that he can manifest through so that his purposes and his plans can be accomplished on this earth. And he'll reward us for that. Amen. Anyway, let's keep on. That's not what I was trying to get to in this verse. The inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Notice this, verse 5. He's talking about us who are kept. by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. What does that mean? Is that power going to keep you?
Yes.
The word kept there has got the idea it's going to protect you. It's important. What's going to keep you? Does he say the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God? Not in this scripture. What's going to keep you? The power of God. The power of God. Now notice this the next phrase. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I read that scripture and I thought, this is relevant to our day. This is relevant. This is relevant.
Yeah.
He said, there are some things about the power of God. There are some things about that power keeping us that are relevant to the last days.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to know this.
Yeah.
He wants us to know this. There are Christians that are going to be overwhelmed by the things that the enemy is throwing at them as darkness increases on this earth, because they're not walking in the place where the power of God is operating through their lives. And they're allowing it to be short-circuited by yielding to things they need to stop yielding to. And we've talked about that. I'm not saying that judgmentally. We've all done it. Amen? But as we need to begin to realize, it is time to begin to lay aside some of the sins and weights and some of the things that short-circuit his power, and begin to realize it's time to step into this place where his glory will manifest through me and his power will flow through my life. There is resurrection power on the inside of each one of us. Resurrection, miraculous power, the kind of power that'll break bondages of the enemy in the lives of the people around you. People say, well, we're waiting for God to pour it out. When he pours it out, it'll happen. It'll be so nice when it happens. Why do you think God is stirring people up? Get into that place. We were talking about that at the end of worship. Get into that place. Walk in that place. Because it's when we step into that place that we will step into the flow of the things he's trying to do through us. And he's looking for people who have become motivated to do that and begin to tap in and touch the glory of God. People say revivals happen when God decides a revival is going to happen. That doesn't, when you look at history, it doesn't seem that. Many times, many of those revivals are happen through people who sought God.
Yes.
I like what I think it was Charles Finney used to say. They said to him one day, how come you get such a big crowd of people? He said, I set myself on fire, people. Come watch me burn. Someone might look at that and say, oh, that's a very me statement. Well, he shouldn't have said, well, God just moves in my meetings. No, he understood some things.
Yeah.
He understood, for to be a vessel, you've got to be in that place.
Yeah.
You've got to be in that place. We've got to begin to realize there is a power. There is the exceeding greatness of his power. He released it at the resurrection. And then he said, I want my people walking in that resurrection power. We died with him and we were raised up. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead raised us up. And then he came to live on the inside. And it says that power is working on the inside of you.
Amen.
It's working. Should you stir your faith up and begin to realize there is power on the inside of me. That power is working. It's working. It's working. That word working means active. It's operational power that's active. It's energio. It's an energetic. It's not just a passive power. It's working. It's ready to do something.
Amen.
It doesn't say the power is passive until the Lord decides to do something. It says it's working in you. It's energio. It's active, operational power. It's ready to flow through you.
Amen.
Did it flow through them in the book of Acts?
Yeah.
You look at people. Stephen is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. It's just a couple of chapters about him. But this man, does it say Stephen just waited for the Lord to move? Or does it say he became full of the Spirit and full of the Word and full of faith himself? How do you think he got that way? Do you think God just decided to fill him up with faith and fill him up with Spirit and fill him up with the Word and go, oh, Stephen, you've been divinely chosen to be full of everything? I think this man spent time in God's presence. He got full. He got so full of these things that what happened when he stepped out there, miraculous began to manifest through him. And even when and someone says, yeah, but they stoned him. Yeah, but did you look at how he went?
Yeah.
And someone says, yeah, but that's not a very nice ending. He got stoned. I don't even think he felt one of those stones hit him. And you know what? Here's another thing. He didn't die of sickness. He didn't die of the curse beating him. He died of persecution. And the Bible says there are people who will be martyred through persecution. It's part of what happens. But you know what? There's an incredible reward in heaven for those that get martyred. There's a special reward for people who go that way. Don't confuse that with going by sickness and the curse. But you know, here he is, they're throwing rocks and stones at him, trying to kill him, and he is in the middle of a vision into the throne room of God. I don't think he was even aware of those rocks. That was just his body, his meat sack, you know. And yet he's just seeing the heavens open up and he sees into the throne room of God. That's a pretty impressive way to go. Yeah. This is a man who walked in a place. Well, what do you think enabled him to walk in that place? He spent time in God's presence. He got stirred up about the power. Why do you think God's trying to keep calling his people, get in my presence, get in my presence, get in my presence? He wants people walking in that place. He wants the exceeding greatness of his power beginning to flow and manifest through channels that where it can flow unhindered without blockage. Can release the bondages of humanity and the people around us. I love Joshua. Joshua is another one I love in the Bible. Man of the word, man of faith. But he didn't just arrive on the scene and be a man of faith. You know that. The Bible shows us through the ministry of Moses, where was Joshua? Joshua spent years in the tabernacle. It says when Moses left, Joshua stayed. Was he sitting there thinking, oh, I better be concerned about making sure everyone's seeing me so that when I'm the next leader, everyone follows me? No, he's in the presence of God. He's sitting in the glory. He's taking time out of this, out of sight, out of everybody else's sight, getting saturated in God. So when it was right for him to be the leader, he stepped into that place because it's not who he knew in the natural, it's who he knew, his God Almighty. God began to flow through him as a leader and took them into that land. Nobody else would have been able to do that. They wouldn't have been the right person. The exceeding greatness of his power. God wanting us walking in that. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Where do I go from here? You guys want to walk in his power? Let's look at some other scriptures. Let's look at a few things. In Ephesians, when it talks about the exceeding greatness, this is where we started. Ephesians 1:19, the exceeding greatness of his power. Those word exceeding greatness there describes power of immense magnitude. In English, it just says exceeding greatness. You don't really get it there, or certainly in my version. But the English just can't quite capture it. But the original words there, the word exceeding is the word, forgive my Greek pronunciation, but we would probably say hyperbole, but it's not spelled that way. Hyperbulo or something like that is how it is in the Greek. But it describes something that is thrown way beyond the normal. See what I say? This is power beyond imagination.
Yeah.
It's described the exceeding. It's talking about power that has been pushed beyond the normal mark.
It's like dynamic, isn't it?
I always remember the movie Back to the Future, one of my favorite movies. Remember those old movies? Anyone ever seen the movies Back to the Future? Do you remember in the first movie where he comes, he goes into Doc's lab? Yeah, I'm sweating. Bit of a preach up here today. You can stand up? You know, think about the power, the power that he wants us to walk in. Get your focus on it. Get your focus on it. What does the enemy want you focused on? The enemy wants you focused on the wind and the waves, just like Peter. Wants you looking at the storm going on around you. Because if you look at the wind and the waves, which direction are you going? You're sinking. Amen? Okay? But anyway, back to the future movie. I remember the scene, he's in Doc's lab. And remember, he gets his guitar and there's this big speaker.
He blows himself.
Do you remember? And it shows how he turns it up. He goes, and you hear this. The speaker's ready to go. What's he done? He's pushed the power way beyond the normal mark. He's taken it too far. Too much. But you see, with God, there is no too far or too much. He is a too much God. His very nature is too much. Does the Bible says, my cup runs over? Why does your cup need to run over? That sounds like too much. I mean, what happens if you pour water in and we normally stop it at the certain point? You don't need. You say, well, that's enough, God. He says, no. I like running over. I like too much. I like overflow.
Yeah.
I like taking it way beyond. That sounds like a pretty excessive God to me. People say, oh, you don't want to go into excess, brother. Maybe you do. Maybe this is where half the problem is. We're all afraid of going into excess. Oh, you can get a bit too extreme about the word and that faith stuff. No, there's no extreme about faith. You can get extremely unbelief. You can get too extreme about that. Okay? But what does he do? He turns that power right up. And like you said, he takes the guitar. Just one, and he shows the Spectre. Remember, there's metal. And he goes, what happens? Explosion happens. Because the power's been pushed way beyond the usual market. It's gone too far. Like I said, with God, there's no too far. This is what he did at the resurrection of Jesus. He flexed his muscles and he showed me. He said, let me put on a demonstration of just how powerful I am. And that's what God's saying. I think every demon in hell and the devil himself shook in his boots at the power. It's like, whoa! That was no ordinary resurrection. God pushed the power up way beyond what he needed to flex his muscles. And he said, let me show you who you're dealing with, devil. Was there any match? Was there any comparison between what the devil could do and what God could do? When the devil comes and says, boo, look what I can do. What do you say? I don't care what you can do. My God can do exceedingly powerfully beyond, way beyond what you can do. Your power's limited, devil. Oh, I'm going to kill you. He's the God of life. His life's working inside of me. Besides, even if you martyr me, I'll just step over into eternity. And man, what a way to go. Amen. Not afraid of it. Oh, I'm afraid to death. I've got plans for my life. That's your problem. You focus too much on the natural. Get your eyes off the natural into eternity. Realize there's an eternity to live for. We are down here. We are down here on this earth for a purpose. We are the body of Christ. The body of what? Who?
Christ.
Christ. What is Christ? Christ is not his last name. Jesus the Anointed. Jesus the Messiah. We kind of adapted it into being his last name. We are the anointed body designed to walk in the anointing. Is there any connection between the anointing and power? Yeah, that anointing describes power. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel. But then just, I think it's just before that, it says he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. In the power of the Spirit. There's a connection. That anointing. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Anointed with Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Is there a connection between the anointing and power?
Yes.
Are we the anointed body of the anointed Christ? The anointed, that's what it means. We are the body that's to walk in the power of his anointing. Have we even remotely tapped into this like we should? Have we come close to walking in this place? Are we going to?
Yes.
Yeah. See, this is it. This description of the last days. There are things I believe that God has reserved where we haven't stepped into. It's not that we couldn't have stepped into it before, but we never saw it. We allowed the enemy to overwhelm us. But God's raising up his body, and he's raising up individuals, and he's getting us to the place where the power of God will be ready to be released through individuals and through the body on a measure and a level never seen in history before. But he wants to keep overwhelming us. The enemy wants to keep overwhelming us, wants to keep keeping us out of this. Because the enemy is afraid of what that power can do. He's seen it at the resurrection of Jesus. It shook him to the core what the power of God is capable of doing. I don't even think for the whole time he was in eternity as Lucifer in heaven that he even comprehended how powerful God was. I don't think he had the revelation yet. I think his eyes were opened at the resurrection of Jesus, and he thought, whoa. I didn't realize how powerful what I'm dealing with is.
Yeah.
And it shook him. But he's still blind and deceived. And he's still stupid enough to think he can beat God.
He
must be so blind. That's the ultimate of blindness. Why serve a blind, deceived person? He just wants you to be blind and deceived. Rather serve the Almighty, have your eyes open and walk in a place of his anointing and power. The exceeding greatness. So that word exceeding describes power thrown way beyond the usual mark. That second word greatness is megathos. Mega. What is a megaphone? Remember those old speakers? Megaphone. We use microphones these days. But a megaphone amplifies things. It's mega. Mega. Mega means big.
I was going to say it always means really big.
It's got to do... So this word in the Greek, it describes something of incredible magnitude and size. Megathos. So he puts these words together, the exceeding greatness, in other words, the incredibly massive power of God, which is thrown way beyond the usual mark, turned the dial right up to maximum, is released at the resurrection of Jesus. Why? Why did he do that? He did it because he wanted us to have a revelation. He said, I need you to see just how powerful God is. Has the enemy ever beaten God? You pinpoint to me one time he did it. One time he did it. Never. There's not a point in time that he's ever did. And he's still stupid enough to try again. He still thinks he's raising up his forces of darkness, getting ready for what the Bible describes as the final showdown. And he actually thinks he can win it. He's that blind. He's that blind. Look at a couple of these scriptures about the devil. The confrontations between God and the devil through that there's been and that there's going to be. Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Power. Exceeding greatness of his power. The resurrection of Jesus. That was one of the greatest displays of the power of God there's ever been. And it's given, he put on that display one of the reasons so that we, the body of Christ, can begin to understand the power that we're supposed to be walking in and to begin to have that revelation that greater is he that is in me than is he that is in the world. I have the greater one on the inside of me. Do I need to be afraid when I step into an environment where demons and darkness are prevailing? Do I have to have any fear? No, if I know the power that's walking, that's operational in me. Now, if I don't know the power that's operational in me and I'm not walking in it, and I'm so busy walking in the flesh that power is being short-circuited in my life, then the enemy cannot overwhelm me. We have to stop letting the enemy keep short-circuiting that power in our lives and begin to realize it's time to step into that place where his anointing flows through me. Revelation 12, 7. I don't even know if I stopped for a breath today. Have I stopped for a breath? Stop for a quick breath. Sometimes you prepare messages like this, and I just know I just came in and we're going to just stir people up a little bit. And I'm stirred up even if you aren't. And you don't quite know how it's going to go. Sometimes the utterance just goes like this. Okay? I know sometimes I speak pretty fast normally, but I think it's a little bit on fast forward at the moment. Is that all right with you? You might have to slow the video down to kind of half speed so you can keep up. Yeah? Revelation 12, 7. And war broke out in heaven. War broke out in heaven. And it lasted for millennia because the power of the enemy was just so strong. And God had never, ever expected that there would ever be war in heaven. And so God wasn't prepared for it. He thought everybody would always serve him. And when the forces of the enemy began to rise up and Lucifer gathered his forces, oh, it was a war that lasted and lasted and lasted. And Michael and his angels lost half of their forces. And they were struggling to get through. It's not like that, is it? That might be like the Hollywood movies. That the enemy's so big and these scrawny little guys, they lose one more, and finally there's three of them left until they just scrape through in this victorious battle. Is that even remotely what happens here? No. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail. Who did not prevail? Dragon and his forces. That word prevail means they didn't have the power to, they didn't have the force. You could say it this way, they didn't have the power to overcome. They did not have the power to overcome. Was it even within their capability? Was Michael and his angels remotely concerned they might lose this battle? No, because the power of Almighty backs every angel.
Amen.
God's anointing and power backs the power of angels. So even when they came up against ungodly angels, Lucifer and his forces, there was no chance they could even lose. Why would the devil be stupid enough to break war out in heaven? Because he wanted to take over. See, he was blind. He didn't realize what he was up against. But could he prevail? No, didn't have the power to overcome. That's verse 7. Look at verse 11. And they overcame him. Who's this talking about? This is talking about the saints. Us, yeah? They overcame him, the devil. So he didn't have the power to overcome. But what does it say about us? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they didn't love their lives to the death. That's something we've got to get a hold of. That third part of it's important.
Yeah.
If you cling to your natural life and you don't have a revelation of eternity, you're not going to step into this. That's why I talked about that earlier. We're going to begin to get our eyes and we've got an eternity to live for. We've got a kingdom to build. We've got a job to get done. We've got things to get achieved and accomplished on this earth. We are on this earth for a reason. And it's not just so that I can have my white picket fence and my pretty little house and all the things I've ever done. God will give you that. You'll mind that. He'll bless you while you're down here. He's going to take good care of you when you're up in eternity too. You've got a mansion, all kinds of things, landed estate. He doesn't mind you having being taken care of. But if that's what your focus is on and you're not focused on eternity and you're more clinging to your own life, you're not going to step into this kind of power. But that's the side thought. What does it say at the start? They, the people of God, the saints, overcame him. Oh, was there any chance the devil could win? Not when they're walking in what he had for them. That word overcame there means conquer, prevail, or got the victory. It means they, the saints, prevailed. They got the victory over him.
We
get the victory. I like what one preacher said when I was growing up. He said this. He said, read the back of the book. We win. So do you have to be afraid? Oh, but this is happening. Oh, but you know, the devil's doing this. The enemy's doing this. Oh, you should see what the enemy's doing. You should really look at what the enemy's doing. Oh, the enemy's working in, oh, the enemy's in politics. Oh, the enemy's everywhere. Oh, the enemy. You might as well be singing, great and mighty are you, oh devil, great and mighty are you. Look at what you're doing. Look at what you're doing. Because what are you doing when you're talking constantly about what the enemy's doing? You're praising him. You're boasting on his power. What do you think praise is? Praise is to talk about what God is doing. Don't do that about the enemy. You need to say, my God's going to move. My God's going to manifest and show up. Yes, we know there are certain things going to happen. Revelation talked about. Why do you think he gave us a preview and showed us all what's going to happen? So we get worried about it when it starts to happen? Now he said, when you see these things happen, lift up your head, your redemption draws nigh. Paul said, don't be afraid when you see these things happen. Just step into the place that God's got for you because you've been kept by the power of God for the last time, ready to walk in his anointing for the Elijahs, the Moseses, the Daniels, the Pauls, the Peters to rise up in our generation and step into that place where his power flows through our lives. Well, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Let's go to one other, Matthew 16. We can just go on and on and on about this like the song. On and on and on and on. Yeah, about the love, yeah? We could go on and on and on, but I think you're getting the idea.
Yeah.
So look at this one, Matthew 16. Then we'll try to bring this to a landing. Try to bring this to a close. Matthew 16. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Everyone say, that power is working in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he. Who's he that's in me? He's the greater one. He's the one with all the power. He didn't say the power's up in heaven. He said, the power's in me. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. You'll walk in that place of power. You'll walk in that place of dunamis, manifesting and working through you and in demonstration through you when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And all the Christians go, oh yes, wouldn't that be nice if we could get some of that? You got it. Focus on it. Meditate on what's in me. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of me. This is the dwelling place of God. God inside of me. I'm not saying I am God. I'm saying God is inside of me. It's me on the inside and there's him on the inside. Holy Spirit lives. I'm the dwelling place of Almighty God. A holy temple set apart and set aside for him to be able to use and to flow through and to manifest because Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
There is glory that's supposed to manifest through us. Christ, that anointing on the inside, ready to go, ready to flow. Matthew 16. Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's because Peter said, sorry, Jesus said, who do men say I am? Who do people say? And then he said, who do you say I am? Did it matter the difference between who they said he was and who everyone else said he was? Yeah. It's who you say he is. Doesn't matter if everyone else is mocking and laughing him. It's sad. We don't want that to happen, but it doesn't stop you walking in the place where you understand he's the Christ. You are the Christ. Notice the Christ. He didn't say, well, we know who you are. You're Jesus Christ. That's, you know, your last name. I just got a revelation of your last name. No, he said, you got a revelation of who he is as the Christ, the anointed one. The one that God had spoken throughout the Old Testament, saying, there is one coming upon whom the Spirit of the Lord will be upon. And he talked about through Isaiah, and he talked about just like he raised up a scourge through Midian. And manifested through Midian, and just as he through at the Red Sea, through Moses, he talks about this in Isaiah. He says, just like that anointing manifested, so there's coming one who will have the anointing of God upon him, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And he will be the anointed one. That's what they were looking for, the one anointed by the Spirit of God. And do you know how they knew he was anointed? One of the things you go and study, I've got a message somewhere buried deep on YouTube from years ago called The Signs of the Christ. And what told them Jesus was anointed? The miracles. The manifestation of the power of God. John the Baptist came and John the Baptist was in prison. He sent a couple of his disciples, said, say to Jesus, are you the one? Remember, because he'd had this great revelation, he's the one. And then a little while later, he's sitting in prison, he's thinking, did I get it right? Yeah. It's doubting what he'd spoken out by the Spirit of the Lord. Yeah. So he goes and sends some of his disciples, are you the one? What is he asking? Are you the anointed one? That's what he's asking. Are you the one that the Spirit of the Lord will be upon? What did Jesus say? He said, go tell John, blind eyes are open. The deaf have their ears open. What is he saying? Go tell John that the Spirit of the Lord is manifesting, power is manifesting, and that'll tell you I'm the one.
Yeah.
Why? Because the anointing is not in there just to be a passive force hanging around in the background. It is there to flow through and to manifest and to be in demonstration. So he says, you are the Christ, you're the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, people get confused there. I'm not going to go into it because we're right at the end of the message, okay? But he's not saying I'm going to build my church on Peter, Simon Peter. He's saying I'm going to build my church on the revelation that Peter got. What was the revelation Peter got?
That he was the Christ.
That you are the anointed one. That turns you into a rock, a solid rock. He said, I will build my church upon this revelation, the revelation of the anointed, the Christ. The anointing that's supposed to demonstrate and supposed to flow. I'll build my church on this rock, on the rock of that revelation. And then what is it said? And the gates of Hades are going to win in the end. Because the anointing... it's just a passive thing, and you know, it's nice to know you got the anointing in you, and we're the anointed ones. But you know, guys, you need to realize we're living in the natural world, and the devil's just gonna win. That's not what he said. Should we be afraid of that happening?
No.
Not if you believe what he said. He said, the gates of Hades shall not prevail. That sounds the same as Revelation. Shall not prevail. The word prevail there. I think I've got it written down somewhere. It's got to do with the same things. Will not be strong enough. Will not be superior in strength. The gates of hell, Hades, will not be superior in strength. To who? To what? To the people walking in the revelation of the Christ, the anointed one. Spirit of the Lord on the inside of me, operating through me. Spirit of the Lord upon me, flowing through me. gates of Hades will not be able to overcome that anointed one. Is this a day when we need to step in and walk in this? Begin to realize that day of resurrection, when God flexed his muscles at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that was the day God was not just showing to the devil how powerful he is, that was the day he was showing to us. And Paul prayed, open their eyes, let them see this, let them get a revelation of just what I have put on the inside of them, when he said, you shall receive power. And Paul prayed, Ephesians 3:20, I think is one of them, talks about the power that is working in you. Power, that there's power working in me. There's power flowing through us. Let's take a moment just to speak that out. Hallelujah, Father. Father, I thank you that there is power, power on the inside, the power of the Holy Spirit. You've given us power. We have received that power. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the power of the Christ, the power of the Anointed One, that resurrection power, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is upon the body of Christ. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is upon me and upon you. And you shall walk in that power. We shall walk in that power. And we shall step into that place where the dead shall be raised and the rivers will split and the oceans and the power of God manifest. We will step into that place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Because there is no force of darkness big enough to stop a member of the body of Christ walking in the power of God. There is no force of the enemy. There is no demon in hell or on earth. No principality or power. No enemy force that is big enough to overcome the power of God. Hallelujah. 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 And so we're supposed to, Lord, we're supposed to start to begin to overcome. We are called to be overcomers. We're called to be victorious. We're supposed to, those battles that the enemy has just been overwhelming you with in your body, and he's been trying to just get you so caught up in a little battle, it's time to start winning some of those battles and start to begin to realize, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in me and through me, we can overcome this thing. I'm not going to be fighting this battle another 20 years. We're going to get on top of this battle, and we're going to go into another one. We're going to, just like Daniel ran at Goliath, we're going to charge into the next battle. We're going to take that Goliath down, and we're going to win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're not going to be overwhelmed by financial things and begin to, oh, the debt, oh, the challenge, oh, you just can't see. Oh, I just can't see how the money's going to come in. Oh, we just don't know where it's going to go. I'll tell you where it's going to go. It's going to come from, just like God said to Moses in the wilderness when he said, I will do it. My power's big enough to do it. My power's big enough to do it. The arm of the Lord is not shortened. The arm of the Lord is not shortened. And we just focus on what God is telling us to do. And we know, Father God, no challenge, no situation, no opposition is big enough. We're not going to be overwhelmed. We're not going to be caught up in the attacks and the challenges that we're facing right now. But we begin to realize that it's time to begin to overcome some of these things so that we can step into a greater place. Step into a greater place and set other people free. Begin to have that power flow through us and get in his presence, saturated just like Stephen, full of the word, full of faith, full of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 And shed aside, let aside, put aside the weights and the sins and the things that are hindering us running the race and are weighing us down. Put them aside. Put them aside. Just throw this. It's time to put that stuff aside. Get your eyes on eternity. Get your eyes on the reward. Get your eyes on the plan and the purpose of God. Yes. Begin to realize there's an eternity to live for. Yes. There's a reward. There's a kingdom. We're here for the kingdom of God. We're here to walk in the power of God. To be the Elijahs, the Daniels, the Moseses, the Peters, the Pauls. Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus. Just like Jesus operating in that place of power. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We get stirred up. He is in me. He's in me. He's in me. Oh, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Thank you, Father God. Oh, hallelujah. Koro mo shekara makasiste, geste breko siste, greste makara makasiste, breste, groste beshta, resta pa tishandika, beshta ra pangasita, opregaz indishana, disupande galatasa. Oh, hallelujah, power manifest. Power manifest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We speak healing right now. I speak healing into every body. Everybody, speak healing in Jesus' name. Every attack in the body right now, physical bodies, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. We expect that power to manifest. We expect changes in the bodies. We expect miracles to take place and things to be fixed in the bodies right now so that we can be in ship-shaped fighting form, ready to walk in His power and in His presence. Hallelujah. And we declare, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is well able to bring that money in. God is well able to bring in the supply so that I can keep my attention focused on the kingdom of God and not like Paul said to Timothy, not being like a soldier caught up with it, entangled in the things of the world, but being able to give my time and attention fully to the army of the Lord and to do what you've called me to do. So we believe that God is able. God is able. God is able. God is able to do it. Whatever it is, just speak out. God is able. I believe my God is able. Just like Abraham and Sarah came to the place where they said, God is able to do this. God is able to do this. And I believe He will do it. And I'm expecting it to happen. I'm expecting that miracle to happen. I'm expecting that power to manifest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And don't let go of that after the meeting when we're out of the anointing and the enemy tries to come in and say, you didn't get anything. You didn't get anything. Just forget it. That was just a hyped up message. No, hold on to it. Hold on and just keep speaking it out. Don't change your confession. Just keep speaking it out. Keep speaking it out. That power is manifest. That power is working. That miracle is happening. In the name of Jesus, that mountain is moving and situations are breaking. Challenges, darkness, oppression is breaking. That bondage of the enemy is breaking in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father God, miracles taking place. Thank you that we can step into that place where the miraculous flows through us and miracles manifest. And there are manifestations of the anointing through us and in our lives. And we speak that out. We declare that in the name of Jesus. My God is greater. There is no greater than my God. My Father is greater than all. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And that power is working on the inside of me. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, yes. Keep speaking that out. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We praise you for the manifestation. Praise you for the breakthrough. Praise you, Lord God, that power is manifesting in my body right now. Thank you that you are moving in my finances. You are moving in my bank account in the name of Jesus Christ. And every obstacle trying to keep that out of my way is removed. I rebuke that enemy trying to stop that happening. We have authority over the power of the darkness. And enemy, you cannot withhold my healing. You cannot withhold my breakthrough. That money is coming in the name of Jesus and it is released so that I can be free to walk in all that God has for me to do and focus my time and attention on Him. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, praise you, Jesus. Kora makashi kara makara. Oh, kalemesi kalamasha. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yes. I'm going to sing in the middle of that storm. I'm going to raise that hallelujah in the middle of that darkness, in the middle of that storm. We're going to declare storm, peace be still in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Koramaka shikaramaka. Ekorabashi karabasa, eshabareso kanesha, isureka, isureka, osibra kashitama, oramaka. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes, amen. Oh, yes.